Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
Paul's key to spiritual success. These three verses, 6 through 8 of chapter 4, are powerful. To bring it into context, Paul has written now to Timothy from this prison cell awaiting his execution, Timothy, the world's going to get worse and worse and worse. That was 2,000 years ago. He told Timothy, in essence, people in general are going to be evil. Believers will be shallow at best in their spirituality. Many will be deceived no matter how much they learn. Some will defiantly oppose God's men, and people in general are just going to get worse and worse. God told us this was going to happen. This world is sick. They need the Lord, and it's our job to preach it. Hence, Paul told Timothy and all believers, don't give up on the Scriptures. It is not the doctrine that's faulty. He said there's going to come a great falling away. It's not the doctrine that's failing. It's the people to apply Scripture. He reinforces that by saying that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Timothy, don't give up on it. It is given and it is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction. So these perilous times are coming. There's going to be a form of godliness. People are going to leave the fundamentals of the faith, and it's not the fault of the Scriptures. And so he reminds Timothy, all Scripture is profitable. Don't give up. Hold on to it, that the man of God may be perfect, truly finished unto all good works. Timothy, don't give up on it. You see, Paul thought he was going to be raptured, and he thought, surely Timothy's going to be raptured. But the truths hold for us. I think we're going to get raptured, but I thought that 30 years ago. Who knows? I know that we're closer than we were 30 years ago. I haven't given up my hope. The Lord is returning. Timothy, you preach the word instant in season and out of season. Don't give up on it. Even though others are going to fall away, they're going to look for teachers. They have itching ears. They will find those teachers. Timothy, don't give up on it. He says, watch in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of the evangelist, and make full proof of thy ministry. Timothy is faltering. He needs his gifts stirred up. Paul, writing from a Roman prison, awaiting his execution. Timothy, come on. Come on. Get back in the race. You have work to do. Perilous times are coming. He didn't sugarcoat it. He didn't hide it. He said, Timothy, this is what's coming. Brace yourself. Now get back in the race. We're going to look at verses 6 through 8 tonight. And I am convinced that these are Paul's key to his spiritual success. Let us read. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Not to me only, but to all them that also love his appearing. The final words, or some of the final words of Paul as he faces his death. Very simple breakdown in this passage. Verse 6, the present, I am ready. Verse 7, the past, I have fought. And 8, the future, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness that he's going to receive. So he's reflecting on his present situation. I'm ready. And then he's going to develop briefly, but powerfully, his past. And then he's going to share his hope in the future. There's a crown waiting for me. Written from a prison cell. Let us consider Paul's present condition. Verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. See, he knows he's about to be executed. My departure is at hand. Can you imagine how that affected his thinking? And as our days pass and we come into the later years of our life, do we not start to think, my departure is soon too? You know, the young may also pass from this world into the next, but it's not so concerning, because chances are many will live into older age. But as the years pass, you start to realize that was my life. Paul facing it because he knew he wasn't going to die a natural death. Rome was going to take him. All men know they will die. Rarely does a man know when and how he will die. And Paul is literally confined to a Roman prison. He knows how he will die. I don't know if he exactly knew the day, if they actually gave him a calendar date, but I know this, he knew it was very soon. He would hear the guards coming down the hall. He would hear the key rattling the chains, and the door would swing open. Can we please grasp the setting that this is written in? He's at his departure. Paul has preached spirituality, confidence in God, in what is awaiting us in eternity, and now he is literally facing it himself and living what he has taught. He is not panicked and fretful. He is actually encouraging Timothy. You would think that he would be wanting Timothy's consolation, but he's encouraging Timothy. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. He is on the threshold of transferring from this world into the next. When a person goes on a trip, he prepares. His bags are packed. He's got his tickets ready. He's at the proper gate. And he's now waiting. I have done what I could. And the departure is nigh. And here I stand. Ready. There's nothing more for me to do now. Write this letter and wait. And Rome is going to take my life. When we go on a trip and you sit at that gate, why can you be at peace? Because you know you have taken the time to pack your bags, to get your tickets in order, to make sure that the house is cared for. Any other responsibilities are already settled. So you can sit at the gate in peace, awaiting the departure. This is what Paul is saying. I'm ready. I heard this story one time. The gentleman was on his way to the airport, and he says, boy, I wish I would have brought the TV. His wife said, why? He said, because the tickets are on it. Soon Paul will be sent to his eternal home, and he refers to his death as a departure. So it is, Christians need to look at death differently than the world does. He is going to another realm, and he is convinced of this. He is going to change from the present physical world to the spiritual realm, and there he will live forever with the Lord. It's over. As a departure to another country, as when the ship puts out to sea, it is for the purpose of sailing to another port, so Paul looked forward to death as departure for another country. The sailor does not leave the port with the prospect of an eternal cruise in unknown seas, or for the purpose of ultimately losing himself somewhere in some mysterious undefined nothing. This is where Paul was. He's not just going to set out aimlessly. There's a very real destination. My departure is going to take me into the next world to be with the Lord. He knew what was coming. He says, I am ready to be offered. Those words are the pivotal point in this passage. You see, in the original Greek, those words, ready to be offered, are one word. One Greek word, many things are bundled into that. And I want you to get this. Listen to what he says. I'm ready to be offered. Those original Greek words, or that original Greek word means to pour out as a libation. Listen to this. To devote one's life or blood as a sacrifice. He's not just going to die. He said, I am going to be martyred. I am literally a sacrifice unto God. I am ready to be offered, to spill my blood, to be offered as a sacrifice. Now surely he was not the sacrifice for sin. Jesus Christ is the only one who could do that. But it's interesting, this original word is used one other time in the Scriptures in Philippians 2:17. Yea, and if I, here it is, be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice. If I be offered. And here he is now writing, I am ready to be offered. It's here. Both Philippians 2:17 and 2 Timothy 4:6 indicate a sacrifice for the Lord. For the cause. You see, Paul daily practiced this in his personal life. This is why he was ready. He says at the end of 1 Corinthians 15:31, I die daily. He gave up his own life daily. It's not my will, it's thine be done. Lord, I am here as a complete sacrifice for you. You bought me with the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is my desire, my glory, my honor to be able to die daily. Not me, it's not about me, it's about the Lord. What can I do for you? And he offered himself daily. Therefore, he was ready to be offered because he made himself ready. He chose to do right. And therefore, it prepared him for the day he faced his execution. I'm ready. I have no regrets. Why, as a matter of fact, he truly lived what he taught the Romans. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice. And now, he is literally giving it its ultimate devotion. I will be a living sacrifice. I died daily, and now I will literally, before God Almighty, be sacrificed at the hand of Rome. What was his crime? Christianity. He's living what he taught. He is a living sacrifice to the fullest. He knew he was going to be offered. And now, as he is ready to give up his life because he would obey the Lord, he's encouraging Timothy and others to continue in the work. You see, today, the honest truth is we're not really expecting anybody to come through that back door and take us and execute us. But to Timothy, that was very real. I'm under the same Roman government. And if they're going to execute you, I could be next. This is very sobering. Paul committed his life. That's why earlier in this book, in chapter 1:12, he said, For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. He was ready. Here he is sitting in this prison cell. Earthly speaking, no hope of release. It's over. He knew it was over. And he's really reflecting on reality, taking pen to paper and putting down his thoughts. And he has confidence in the Lord such that he's telling Timothy, even at his death, keep going, Timothy. It's worth it all. We would do well to do like Paul and reflect on our present condition. Are you ready? If you died tonight, are you ready? Or do you have some regrets? Maybe some things that should have been dealt with and are not dealt with. Maybe things that you're doing you shouldn't do, or things you should do that you haven't been doing. Are you ready? Or when you stand in the presence of the Lord, you're going to have a regret. How are you enduring your trials? Do you have it as bad as Paul? And he's not complaining. If he had peace in a prison cell facing his death, what was he doing that you're not? The key to Paul's success is that he served the Lord every day. His past, verse 7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I find this a very, very interesting statement based upon Paul's past. Let's take a look at earlier days in Paul's life in Acts chapter 7, verse 54. This is before Paul is saved, so he is still Saul. And when they heard these things, the words of Stephen, they were cut to the heart, they gnashed on him with their teeth, and he, Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly unto heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Do you think Paul was remembering Stephen when he was in that prison cell ready to be executed? And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. I wonder if those words were going through Paul's mind. Lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Let us consider Acts chapter 9. And Saul, he's still unsaved, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, and he's following Christianity, whether men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And so here is Paul now sitting in a Roman prison waiting on execution, and surely he knows what he did. And he is now probably can't wait to meet Stephen. And better yet, Stephen can't wait to meet him. Stephen didn't die in vain. He was used mightily. He probably didn't fully understand what was going on, but his death greatly impacted the Apostle Paul. Paul has to be reflecting on how those that he persecuted, how they felt. And yet he saw they were right and he was wrong. Paul has to also remember that when he did get saved, people didn't trust him. They didn't know if his profession of faith was sincere. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out of Jerusalem, and he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians. But they went about to slay him, which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and set him forth to Tarsus. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and they were edified. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. They didn't trust him. And so it is here Paul is reflecting on his past and makes this interesting statement. I have finished my course. I have fought the good fight. You see, there are too many that at the end of their life, they cannot say, I have fought the good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Paul did not say, I merely endured to the end. Thank God, and he flopped over the finish line. He went across it confidently, stepping off that threshold into eternity, knowing I finished my race. I have fought the fight. I have kept the faith. Even under great persecution, I didn't just endure, but rather, at the end of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And so Paul had truly finished the race. Now here's another key to Paul's success. All of those awful things that he did persecuting Christians, he was able to put it behind him. How many people carry baggage through their Christian life and it hinders their work? They never get over what they did. And you know what? Maybe you did do some pretty deplorable things in your past. Look at Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through His blood. Have you trusted the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Then you have the forgiveness of sins. That is all under the blood now. Yes, you did it. And God says, I have kingdom work for you to do. Let's go. This was a great strength that Paul had. He could put it behind him. Therefore, he says in Philippians 3:13, brethren, I count not myself to apprehended. I haven't arrived. I'm not perfect. But this one thing I do, forget those things that are behind. Forget it. And reach forth to those things which are before. I press to the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You see, when Paul got saved, it was a new beginning. He is now a Christian that has been washed in the blood of the Lamb, and he starts his Christian service. And God knew, and there he was running that race and fighting that fight, and he kept it. He kept it. I think it's interesting to note that Paul, facing his death, knew he made every day count for the Lord to do what he was to do. You see, God has purpose for every person. Whether they recognize it and fulfill it or not, it's a different story. But you were not created as an accident. You were not placed in time and space by accident, but rather by choice, by an almighty, all-knowing, all-powerful God for a purpose. And God knows that. And Paul said, you know what? I knew what God wanted me to do, and I did it. I did what God wanted me to do. Did you notice? I have fought the good fight. I have finished. I didn't just stagger over the finish line. Somebody didn't drag me across. I completed the work that God had for me. He didn't die halfway down the path. He finished it. God had things for him to do, and he was settled in his mind. You know what? I did what God wanted me to do. Is there more work to be done? Absolutely. Timothy, that's your job now. Christian, we only have so many days here on this earth. No man is going to do it all. That's why Paul is passing it to Timothy, and he told Timothy, pass this on to faithful men who will teach other men. We're part of a grand plan that transcends our lives. We need to find strength in this. And by the way, did you know that Paul had the time to get it done? He didn't say, boy, I wish I could have done more, but I was so busy doing this and this and this. And I mean, I was just frantic every day, and I'm exhausted constantly. And I know what God wanted me to do, and I did that. I was not distracted. God wanted this and this and this, and I did that and that and that. Every day, I made it count. I was not distracted. And therefore, when time is no more in our lives, we can stand on the threshold of eternity and say, I have finished my course. It's interesting that Paul asked there on the road as he was on his way to Damascus in verse 6 of Acts 9, and he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Ask! Don't just stagger through this life wondering, well, I wonder what God wanted me to do today. Ask! And God answered, and the Lord said unto him, Arise, go to the city, it shall be told thee. God says, I have prepared people to direct your path. Go! So he got a simple command, arise and go. He went there and he found out what he was to do. God will answer that prayer. What would you have me to do today? And he finished his course. Folks, let go of your past and look forward to the future. God has kingdom work for us all to do. Let's look at Paul's future. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Paul is reflecting on his present. I'm ready. Why? Because of my past, and because of I know what's waiting for me in the future. Paul's understanding of what was waiting for him settled his thinking as he faced his departure. Henceforth, there's something remaining yet. Finally, based on his Christian service, henceforth, Paul looked forward to heavenly blessings. This word, henceforth, means what remains or as to the rest. And the idea is that what was what remained of the whole career. The race had been run, the conflict had been waged, and all that was now necessary to complete the whole transaction was merely that the crown be bestowed. I'm ready. I know there's a crown. Not an arrogant defiance, but a confidence because he knew he died daily. He was a living sacrifice. He did finish what God had for him to do. And it truly was a fight. And he stayed faithful. All believers will enjoy eternal life, but not all believers are going to enjoy the rewards in heaven. 1 Corinthians 3:15, If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. Paul was confident, I've got rewards. Not an arrogant defiance. A confidence. I did what God asked me to do. And it landed me here. Paul was comforted in this. He was excited. I'm getting a crown. I'm getting a crown that's out of this world. Literally. And then he gives this great confidence and comfort to Timothy. Not to me only. Timothy, this can be you. Christian, this can be you. But to all them. Now it's interesting. To all them that love is appearing. Go up just a few short verses. We're in verse 8 right now. Take a look at 2 Timothy verse 1 of chapter 4. Just a few verses before. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing. He's already laid the ground talking about the coming of the Lord. He is going to bring with him when he comes judgment of the saints. And now he's saying, you'll get a crown of righteousness, but all of them that love his appearing. Now, we have to know that appearing brings judgment. If you're not doing what the Lord wants, you're not going to be loving his appearing. You ought to be scared that the Lord is going to find you not about his work, but rather distracted. Timothy right now is fearful. Perilous times are upon him then, and they're only going to get worse, and he is frozen. And so Paul says, you got to stir up the gift. Come on, come on, come on. You see, love is an action verb. Do you love his appearing? Then do something about it. Because he's bringing judgment. How do you want him to find you? Busy about his things? Or neglecting the work that he had for you to do? I have finished my race. I'm not afraid of the judgment. And none of us have to be afraid if we'll only apply ourselves to do what God has for us to do. How precious are Paul's thoughts? As we literally read of a man facing death, many on death row would proclaim their innocence. They would blame another. They would cry for a retrial or a pardon. But Paul was settled in his mind, I'm ready. He did what God had for him to do, and his thinking was settled. Paul knew the reality of two worlds, the physical and the spiritual, and the temporal and the eternal. He knew that God was real. He knew that he had eternal life. And he knew that he had accomplished the things that God had for him to do. He could face eternity because each day he determined to do only God's will and not be distracted. It was his attitude, based upon the facts of how he lived his life, that gave him peace in a Roman jail cell. He knew, therefore, I have done what God wanted me, and my path has led me here. It's not that he has failed in his life, he has neglected his duty and ended up in a prison cell. It's because of obedience that he ended up in a prison cell. Therefore, Lord, this is your will for me. Rome may kill Paul, but they did not do away with his message. We have no clue the names of the guards that executed him. But we know the one who was executed. If we could go back, the guards would be merely doing their job and they'd go on with life and Paul's would end. And who was the one that God was pleased with? Paul. Here he is on the threshold of glory. Can you not see him there in the prison cell, reflecting back, this is what God had for me? See, as a young person, you look forward with anticipation, dreams and wonders. What do you want to be when you grow up? Now Paul's on the other end of that. This was it. And he can honestly say, I did my best. I really did. I have no regrets. God showed me the path, and I went for it with everything I had. And now I'm going into glory. What a glorious thing. Let's consider Paul's key to spiritual success, that one day we can say, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them who love his appearing. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's where it all begins. Let that hand represent you. Let that billfold represent sin. God loves you. He hates the sin. And there's nothing that you can do in your flesh to get rid of that sin. And God made the provision by giving us the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, Jesus Christ, born of a virgin, lived the perfect life, for he was God, and he took your sin, my sin, and the sin of the whole world to the cross. He gave up his life. It was paid in full. How do you go to heaven? When you realize in the quietness of your mind, I'm a sinner, and there's nothing that I can do to get rid of that sin. And I realize that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh, who loved me so much. He gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, to pay my sin debt. And he paid it in full. I have to put my faith in his work of redemption and that alone for my eternal salvation. Because for God so loved me, that he gave his only begotten Son for me, that if I believe in his work of redemption, I shall not perish but have everlasting life.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.